Okay, I think we entitled this discussion as Defying Nature, a Natural Cause. And I think that it could be also very relative to Hanukkah. I guess in an indirect way, maybe a Hanukkah message. Not the traditional kind, but, you know, something. And the idea is as follows, that one of the major interferences with bitochen on so many different levels is the teva, the nature of things, the way of the world, whether it's the scientific, whether it's just what seems to be natural, natural cause and effect, laws of nature, so much that we are so used to relating to almost in a fatalistic way. In other words, this leads to this, and this leads to this, and this has to be this, and this was set up to do this. And so it interferes with the endless possibilities of bitochen, because bitochen's possibility is to change anything, to achieve anything, to turn anything around and upside down, to make the impossible happen, to make miracles happen, to turn bad into good. All of these things we've discussed over the months and time that we've been discussing this topic. And in reality, that's what we're dealing with. So to put some perspective on how to defy nature and the concept of natural cause is a very, I'd say, a necessary ingredient to maintain a strong level of bitochen. Chazal said it really in two comments, many more, of course, but, first, many comments, I shouldn't say two. The Gemara talks about Reb Chanina ben Doisa and his Einod Milvadoi, that a woman wanted to do Kishuv, and Kishuv has a certain power to affect, to negatively, to impact, maybe even to kill a person. But Einod Milvadoi, the realization that there is no power in this world besides Hashem. So any koyach that's apparent, even one that's been validated by the Chazal themselves and say, yeah, this is a koyach, but all koyach is a subject to the Baal HaKoychis Kulam. There's a Baal HaKoychis Kulam. There's the master of all the koyches, and all koyches in the world are subject to that. And that's something that we have to keep in mind all the time, because we get so lost and confused in the, but there's a koyach out there, but that's natural, but it's set in motion, but it's happening, but the doctor said, but the scientist said, but the laws of nature indicate. There's no laws of nature, there's no doctor, there's no scientist. The Torah says, Yerape, Yerape, Mikan, Shenit, and Rishus, L'Roife, the Rapis. A doctor was given Rishus to heal. And I often like to say who can't be healed, he's not a doctor, he's a layman just like we are. No, this is whatever the Torah gave him. But there's a God in the world, and he's the Baal HaKoychis Kulam. And that's, I think, a very important basic point. The problem is that, and Chazal described this in other ways too. Chazal say, "Afiru filu cherev chodo munach al tzavar shel odom al yimna otzmo or al yisya'i shatzmo min harachamim." Even if there's a sharp sword lying on the back of his neck. Now, the sword on the back of the neck, it's one breath away from death, because it's a sword, and it's finished. You know, like the guillotine, you know, what it used to, that's all, it's over. So, al yisya'i shalom, don't give up for rachamim. Don't turn away from the possibility. Hashem could have rachamim in a split second. And, Chazal say in another, Yeshua Hashem kerefayin. Yeshua Hashem kerefayin. The Yeshua from Hashem comes like the blink of an eye. And the blink of an eye is a minute fraction of a moment. So even though teva doesn't work so fast, teva doesn't work that way. If a sword is on the back of your neck, that's the end. If Keharifayin, if everything is happening, a Keharifayin seems to be a very unlikely and unnatural occurrence. But that's it. Hashem controls everything. So that's a very, very important lesson. And to, you know, the Navardikas were known to say, Nishto kein teva. There's no such thing as teva. Because Hashem controls everything. Thank you. So I think that it's important maybe to take a few examples and to see where we go with that. One of the ways I think that we can negate the teva is if we could realize that there's a level of bitochen that isn't interested in the teva. What does that mean? It's not interested even in the means by which something will come about. And what I mean by that is as follows. The Beis HaLevi, that was Rabbi Yoshe Beir Soloveitchik, the father of Reb Chaim Briska. So he writes here at the end of Parshas Vayetze. He brings a medrash that discusses and says it refers to Yaakov Avinu. The medrash says, the pasuk says, Eso eina el hehori me'ayin yovo yezri. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where will come my help? And the answer is, Ezri me'im Hashem, Eisi shomayim v'ores. My Ezri comes from Hashem. So so the medrash says, when Eliezer went to take Rivka, to get Rivka for Yitzchok, so he said, Yaakov Avinu said, when Eliezer went to get Rivka, he came with all kinds of gifts, and this is, I have nothing. You know, so he was wondering, he was concerned, what's going to be? I don't have anything to bring. He came to Lavan with nothing. He came, he lost everything. He came. So, Darash HaMedrash Latevas Ezri, Inyan, Eso, Kemo, Eso, Loi, Ezo, Kenegdo, Ubir, Divrei HaMedrash, Demlamdeinu, Godel HaBitochen Shel Yaakov. This teaches us the greatness of Yaakov's Bitochen. Dihine, Zeba Teva HaOdom. It's the natural thing for a person. Even if he has trust. I trust Hashem is going to help me. That I trust. How's it going to happen? I know I'm going to have parnosa. I know I'm going to bring home the bread. But how's it going to come? Which way? Where is it? This deal, that deal, this job, that? You don't know. He says, "V'kivan shetzorech la'ezer dover ve'ein biyodon mois hagam ki liba chozuk v'bitochon." Even though I need something and I have strong bitochon, shebavada yazul Hashem, I know Hashem is going to help me. Im kol zeh liba choyshe be'ezer oifen yasek hadover. Im Hakadosh Baruch Hu yasme lo revach o yimtza metzia uchedoyme. He says, "How am I going to get that? I know I'm going to have money, but how is it going to come? I don't know. Maybe." I'll have a quick business deal. I'll make some money. Maybe I'll find some money lying in the street.
Is he not supposed to do that?
What? Wait. We'll see. So he says, that's the normal. Even a Baal Bitochen has those thoughts. So he says, like, ulechera ein bazeh chesaron bebitochen. It's lechera, it's not a chesaron bebitochen. Achar shegam lahasiba ein lo shum derech umovoy shetiyeh rach Hashem yasunom. Says, there's no way you're going to find money in the street.
Right.
There's no way you're going to get a special deal all of a sudden now. It's all from Hashem. So my bitochen says, so like, it's what's wrong? It's all bitochen. He says like this. He says, Varaka harka chozar v'sa. Yeah, that was Yaakov's thought. And he thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to present myself to Lavan when my father, my Eliezer, had for my father all kinds of gifts he brought, and I have nothing. Rak achar kach chozav v'choshav gam zos lechasora. It's also a chasora bitochen. Why? The lomo li liftoyach sheyazmin hasibo shebaze asig ho'ezer. Why should I think that he's going to send this sibo with which the help is going to come? Ve'omar ezri mi'im Hashem v'gam below shum sibo asig ho'ezer. There's a danger. He says, which Sibo is going to happen? Ezri miyim Hashem. Sibo is irrelevant. He could do it without any Sibos. In other words, It's this Yaakov Avinu's bitochen over here was a defiance of Teva. Originally, he was subject to the Teva. He says, Me'ayin Yavu Ezri. Ezer comes in many different forms. It comes in a stock market windfall. It comes in finding a mitzvah in the street. It comes in winning a lottery. It comes in getting a business deal. It comes in a Yerusha. It comes in many ways. So Yaakov knows, in this Ezer, he says, I know it's all from Hashem. But it's almost like a curiosity. Of how is it going to come? Then Yaakov realized that that too was a chesaron of bitochen, because I'm focused on teva. I'm focused on which tiviastic away, which natural cause is going to bring about that which I'm looking for. Is it this? Is it that? Is it defined? Is it the lottery? Is it? And some of them are natural. Some of them are great hashgacha, but they're all. I'm looking at it in the way of the world, and that finding something in the street is natural. It may be considered miraculous, because who finds a pack of money like that in the street? But it's a natural thing. You found it in the street. Winning a lottery, somebody wins. Getting a Yerusha, people get Yerushas. Oh, but no. He says at the end, he realized that he says the true bitochen, he says, V'rak da'achar kachozar bo, yed charot de Yaakov Avinu, v'choshav gam zois lichesoron. Why should I think that the Siba, that I should focus on the Siba, that through that the help is going to come? The true bitochen is to put trust in Hashem and not even to be curious, because the Hashem can provide in defiance of nature. In defiance of natural cause. And the highest level now, of course, Yaakov Avinu's Havamina was to think. So I guess for us, we should be very happy if we have trust in Hashem and I'm curious which way he's going to do it.
Even in the Maskana.
You know what I mean? Yeah, even for the Maskana for us. But to see, to know that that's the ultimate is very important. Because we do have to strive not to be bound by the Teva. Because Yaakov Avinu says, wait, maybe this way, maybe the other way, fine. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes all the ways seem min ha-nimna. No. What? Right now. The most beautiful, I don't know if it's the most beautiful, but it's a story on Yontel Erlich has a whole recording on Bitochen, on ballads on Bitochen. I think they tell us that was the last thing he did before he passed away. So he has there the story of a group of Hasidim. They came to this inn to learn what bitochen was from the innkeeper. I've told this story here before. And he invites them in for a meal, for breakfast, and everything nice. They're banging on the door. The Kozakim came. The Poritz, who lives across the field, wants his rent for the year, the yearly rent, which is 300 ruble. He wants it today. Today's the deadline. If by 4 o'clock today you don't pay the 300 ruble, take you to Dennis prison. Those days they had Dennis prisons. Fine. So he says, tell the Poritz he'll have his money. People, why don't you pay him? I have no money. What are you going to do? I don't know. Hashem won't let me down. I'm not worried about it. Come back an hour later, banging again at the door. Tell the Poritz 4 o'clock he'll have his money. What are you going to do? Hashem won't get it. Finally, 3:30, he gets dressed up in his Shabbos begging. And he goes out on a little hill in the field there, like I guess halfway between him and the Poritz's house. And he's waiting for the Yeshua. And the Hasidim are standing there by the inn, looking to see what's going to happen. All of a sudden they see a rider with a wagon coming. And they talk to him and this. They think this guy maybe will give him the money. No, no agreement. They shake their heads and he goes away. But it's getting a little bit later already, 10 minutes later. The rider comes again. Again a conversation. No. A third time, again a conversation, chuckles, no. It's already 4:02. He's walking towards the Poritz's house. He puts his foot, it's 4 o'clock, a minute or half a minute, whatever, before 4 o'clock, he puts his foot already in the garden to go inside. Doesn't have any money. The wagon driver comes back. They agree on something, takes out the money, gives it to him, goes in, pays the Poritz, he comes back. The Hasidim are What happened? What's this all about? What happened? He says, the driver was a farmer from another town. He wanted to buy my next year's produce for 300 rubles. Now, a half hour before the deadline of going to debtor's prison, yeah, he gets his money miraculously by a farmer who comes, and Pumpty's waiting out in the field, wants to buy next year's produce for the amount that he needs to give the poorest. Absolutely not. Why? Because my produce is worth 500, and I'm not selling my produce. What are you, crazy? You're going to be a... I'd be talking Hashem. Guy comes back and says, 340. He says, no. He says, 420. He says, no. He's not going to sell it for a penny less because he has bitochen. It's a minute to four. He's walking into the parson's house with bitochen to pay him without any money. That's in defiance of all laws of nature. What's going to happen now? Where the money is going to rain down from heaven? What's going to happen? The farmer comes up right by the door, right before 4 o'clock. Okay, you got a deal. Here's the 500 ruble. So this is the way we have to be able to look at things. That all the things, the way they're going to happen, okay. But even if we can't imagine a way, but Hashem has ways. I can't imagine a way. I mean, how would... I was $1 million in debt in L.A., I remember. And how could I ever imagine a way that we'd ever get out of it? And all I did was to agree, based on my wife's advice, to spend the morning Seder in the Beis Medrash, with this group, a new group of guys that came there for the whole morning. That night, I meet somebody, introduce me, his father, someone, a building, this. The man left us $1 million within a couple of weeks. You know? I got it, paid off all the debt. Everybody got paid that year, including me, paid off all the debt except one. Mine, the money that was owed to me. So I said, that's the shot, the buck stops here. Paid the whole money, paid off everything. Except, anyway, whatever it is. So I'm saying, but that's the way we have to look at it. Oh, now, Lamaisa, just let me point this out. We see something interesting in Hilchos Hanukkah.
Are we saying also that looking into the Teva and the Siva is a distraction? It could distract us. I mean, because there's nothing, it's not that it's a direct lack
that's
of
really, I think that's really the depth of it. Because when I'm looking, once I look, I'm focused
I'm
on
caught
it. It's
up
like
on
we
it.
Said, Al tiftuch min adivim. So if you shouldn't even in a shliach. What do you mean he's a shliach from Hashem? But when you have a shliach, you tend to forget about Hashem, and the shliach has the money. I tell a story, I'm sure I told it here too, about once a friend of mine sent a $25,000 check, FedEx, overnight. For a priority one, whatever. So I waited till 3:05. It was supposed to be till 3 o'clock. It's still, no, the bank closed at 3 o'clock and it wasn't delivered yet. It's supposed to be early in the morning delivery. I call up my wife and I ask, I said, how you talking? FedEx is the most reliable courier. Everybody relies on it. And she says, you waited the whole day for the FedEx. You didn't once think about the Rabbeinu Shalil. Because all day long I was thinking, where's the FedEx? Where's the FedEx? Where's the FedEx? That's exactly this chesaron. There's a teva. The FedEx, my friend, put the $25,000 check in the FedEx. It's not about FedEx. It's all about the Rebbeinu Shalom. Anyway, so by Hanukkah, there's two interesting things I just want to point out. Number one, it talks about the wholeness of Hanukkah and the Bayis Sheni and the Malchei Yovon. And they made all kinds of gzeiros against the Jewish people. The Vitzar Lehem Yisroel, Me'oid, Lochatzum Lachas Godol, Ad Sherichem Aleim Elekei Avoseinu, V'Hishiyom Miyonu V'Hitzilom. Until Hashem had Rachmonis and saved them, V'Hishiyom V'Hitzilom, to the Sheres of Hatzolah of saving. V'Gover B'nei Chashmonoi, the Kohanim, they overpowered the enemy, V'Horogum, V'Hishiyo Es Yisroel. And they saved them. Who done it? Who saved them? Here it says Hashem Hoishiyim Miyodim Vehitzilom. Then it says Vegover Bnei Chashmonoim Vehishiyu Yisrael Miyodim. It's a contradiction. Who did it? Tells this portion. Even though the Teva looks that the Bnei Chashmonoim drove out this army of Yevonim. And that's actually what happened in the picture, in the world view of it, in the hardcore, you know, the view of it. But in reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. He did it. And when he decided it to be done, it's done. And that's it. He's the one who saves it. He lets us get the credit. He lets it appear like we're doing it. But he is the Hoshion Vahitzilon. Very important concept to keep in mind. That even though it looks like things are happening with Erech Teva, it isn't only that he's allowing it to happen Derech Teva. He's doing it Derech Teva. He's Hoshion Vahitzilon. Derech Teva that the Chashmonaim saved the Klal Yisrael. They can get credit, but the reality is his. And the truth of the matter is the Maral says that that's the pshat. I think the Maral says that what I remember says the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Chanukah says Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Chaviva Moed Ad Moed V'tzorech Od Nizorei Bo Kedei Lodi Hanes Ulo Hoisif B'Shevach Hokel V'Hoidoi Elo Ala Nisim Shosolon. He says Mitzvah Chanukah is very precious, and you have to be careful with it to be Modi Adanes Pirsumi Nisa. And to add b'shevach hokel v'hoidoy and praises to Hashem and thanks on the nisim that he did for us. So I think he says like this, that really Hanukkah, it says, on which ner we koveya it? On the ner ha-menorah. But in reality, there was a much bigger thing that happened. They beat the Chashmonaim. The Ramban says, if not for the Chashmonaim's victory, nishtakach teru mitzvah in Yisrael. So which is greater? Teru mitzvah in Yisrael will be forgotten? Or the menorah burnt. If it wouldn't have burnt, it was oines, this, they could have used tomatic or whatever. You know, so I think he says that it's meisif shevach hodoyo on the nisim, because you could look at the victory of the Chashmonaim and say, Teva, they were strong. You could say, I hate to repeat this, what someone once said after the Six-Day War, Lo hayu nisim. Possible. What do you mean? We have an army, you know, Tzahal, whoo, give out, you know. After, by the Yom Kippur War, the gold of the Rosh HaMemshalah said, that night I was there, I remember, Batuchim anu bekocho shel Tzahal. And that was the biggest hefset of all the wars, you know. So you know, Hayuni Sim, Vasur Liftoach Bekocha Shel Tzahal Avul. One might think, we have an army. Chashmonaim, okay, it was a little family, but they were strong, they were dedicated, they were cunning, they had Jewish brains, they had ingenuity, they had guerrilla warfare, they had this, they had that. Okay, so you could possibly misattribute it to Teva. What are you going to say about the Nes HaMenorah? There's no Teva there. Teva is oil. Oil burns. We know you could measure a certain amount of oil burns for a certain amount of time. But a little bit of oil, enough for one day, for 8 days. That's Misha Omar. You know, like he said about Chumitz. Yeah. That's Kihu Omer Vayehi. So he says that the Nes HaMenorah was really the one that we were Kaveh the Yontif, because that's the one that shows us that it's incontrovertible Nes and there is no Mokum to say Teva. On the victory, you could still say Teva. Again, somebody said on the Six-Day War, which is the miracle of miracles, surrounded on all sides by enemies, and it was really 3 days. They say 6 days is a misnomer. 3 days was just for cleanup. After 3 days, the tide of the war turned. Everybody thought it was over. You know, that's it. We're finished. We're done. Lo hayu nisim. That's possible. But on the menorah, can't say that. It's the most blatant, clear defiance of Teva that exists. So, Memeil, that's what he says. So, and he says, the menorah is moisif, the shevach, on the other things, because we can now, with greater certainty, appreciate that the milchoma was also there.
Also is, wow.
But that's the idea. We have to search for the nes in the Teva. We have to, in a sense, defy the Teva and the whole idea of of natural cause, because in reality, everything is einoid milvadoi.
I have to share with the Rav.